desire your prayers this morning, and I really mean that. We need the Lord to help us today. Life has got a lot of different places that are hard to navigate, but I found one thing. Let's look in the book of Psalms, the 68th Psalm, and I want to read this verse of scripture to you, and again, please pray for us today, because I feel like all of us need to, me included, I'm probably going to preach it myself more, but we need more of the power of God working in our lives. Yes, and the Lord has been speaking to me in long different lines about having more of His power. He says here in the 68th chapter of Psalms, in the 35th verse, O God, Thou art terrible out of Thy holy places. The God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people. Blessed be God. I love that scripture because I feel like we do need strength. We do need His graces. We do need His strength in our life to be able to make it. The book of Zechariah, another verse of scripture I'd like to read to you in the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm thankful we have the encouragement of the scriptures this morning to help us. We would like to look again in another familiar text of 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul was praying to the Lord, Lord, get me out of this trouble that I'm in. The Lord's answering him now and says, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ. We've sung of some songs here this morning that tell us that we can have more of that power in our life. I wrote down a definition. Power is a force. It's specifically a miraculous power. It's an ability and it's an abundance. It's meaning, it's might, it's strength and mighty. When he said he gives power to his people, that's not a physical power for us to do extraordinary things, lift up a car or do something out of a physical might, but it's a spiritual power. It's something from within. If we can be like Paul that said that if he could just know the power of his resurrection, if we could have that in our life and we could know more of the power of his resurrection, if we could understand how that God can get us off of our high points in life. There's some of us get locked up on some things that take all of our power away. It robs us when we are hung up on small things. And as humans, we tend to get that way sometimes. We get hung up on little things, little hurts, and little things that just seem like it shouldn't even be there. But it does. It happens to us. And God wants to get us off of that high center. And He wants to show us His power. I believe He wants to put a spark into our lives. I have looked sometimes and seen the deadness, the lack of spiritual light shining in my life and shining in other people's lives, in children's life, it's like there's no spark there. There's nothing there. It's gone. There's not much mention of God. There's not much enthusiasm. There's not much of anything. It's all gone. And you see, that is the working of the power of darkness, is to take the spark away in your life, to cause you to have some kind of little high point or get stuck up on something that just robs us of our spiritual power. I'm concerned this morning that all of us, not just LaRondra, but everywhere go, that we have a spiritual power working in our life. And Paul, he was struggling with it. Lord, I've besought you now several times to take this thorn out of my side, and cause, one place he said, bonds and afflictions abide me in every city. Maybe he was talking about part of that. I don't know. I'm not sure just what it was, but he was seeking the Lord, and the Lord come back and spoke to him, and he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness, and my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul came to the conclusion, and he said, and I wish that we would too. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. To have more of the power of Christ in our lives. We're not going to get exempt from problems. In fact, many times problems simply introduce us to ourselves. Have you ever thought of it that way? It's that way sometimes. A problem comes in your life, and if we're not careful, we're going to handle it the same way we do a lot of other things. Maybe we'll do it in small increments. Maybe we'll do it as we find time. Maybe we'll work out a problem in the best way that it fits us in our life. And sometimes as we go through life, we can get stuck in a rut. And we can look at problems and say, oh, there it is again. You know, all of my problem is Brother James. That's all the problems I got. It's him. He's all my problem. If he was different, I'd be different. Or my wife, that if she would be different, I'd be different. Or my boss. My boss, if he would be different, I'd be so much different. Lord, you see your little child is down here struggling with an old mean boss. He's struggling with some hard to get along with people in my neighborhood that have dogs that bark all hours of the day and night. And I hope you don't have that. I know that would be a trial. But you know what? If we're not careful, we can get bitter or we can get better. We've got to watch what we do. But I believe there's a power to help us. In fact, I've wrote a few things down here that I'd like to share with you, a few things, and there's nothing just in order, there's nothing, but a few things I believe God wants to help us in. Here's one of them that I put down, an organizational power. Men, I love to go in your garage and look at some of your garages, and sisters too, my wife can keep things organized. I'm not that way. I don't know what happened to me. But we need some organizational power in our lives. Organizational power will bring clarity when we know where things are at. How many times have I grieved over I can't find a tool? I know I've got that tool. I know I've got it. I just can't put my hand on it. And I have to go borrow one. Or go buy one because I can't find my own. I remember one time going and said, it wasn't nobody here, so don't even think I'm inspecting your homes or I'm doing anything. I'm not doing that. All I can say is I almost have problem with envy when I see a man that has all of you go in his garage and all of his tools are on the wall and everything is clean. It's like, oh, I wish I could be that way. But there are times, I was in one of my relatives' homes. I opened the door. All I did was wash my hands. That's all I'd done and cleaned out. I was looking for a towel, and when I opened this door, the whole closet caved in. I remember as a boy opening that and the terror, it just scared me. All this stuff come falling down, and I couldn't close the door, and I just almost had to run out of the bathroom. I was so afraid. Some of my relatives were not very organized. I'm afraid some of that fell on me, because my wife can tell you that my shop is, most of the time, it's not in a very organized place. But wouldn't it be good, getting off the men here, but wouldn't it be good if all of us had some organizational skills that we could do better in? I'm asking the Lord to help me. Would that be something you would ask the Lord for, to be more a power to organize and get a hold of our... You know what clutter does? Clutter. I remember working on a man's furnace one time. Oh, here's one of my stories. I'm sorry. But these things stick out in my mind because it's just happened to me. I had to find his furnace. And to find his furnace, it's just back over there. Well, there was walls of clutter. And when I finally got through to that furnace where it was at, guess what? That man followed me. And there was so much clutter, he didn't know he was standing on my foot. And I'm trying to, and you all don't know, but I've got claustrophobia bad. And I got in that place, and I'm telling you, I was looking for a way out. It was not very good. But it seemed like we can get the... We have so much. Maybe that's what it is. We just have so much. But things can get so cluttered in our life that we just kind of get buried up. And we hardly know which way is up. We hardly know which way is up. And I believe the Lord can give us some organizational power. We have backlogs of unfinished projects. Go ahead and say amen, honey. I know it's true. She knows. Well, you can't fool your wife. I'm still not satisfied with where I'm at. How about you this morning? You still feel like there's a place we could improve? Yes. I do. Lord, help us today. Yes. If it comes to, and it's causing me spiritual trouble, I think it's worth every effort, Lord, to do just a little better. What else? Broken promises. Obstructions. Those things cause us to lose power in our life. And you know, if there's anything that I'm pulling for the people of God, is to get some of this power back. Power in our homes. Power down where we live. Because we're facing a foe that is relentless in his pursuit of destroying our life. He would love to keep you cluttered up with so many things and keep you backlogged and keep you so full of things that's, you know, just little ghosts of here coming out of the closet, little things that just shouldn't be. Lord, help us today. I would love... And I'm just applying, I'm telling you, my heart is crying out for the living God. He said he's going to give power to his people. Lord, please grant that power to me. To have that, a life that is at peace with God. There's harmony there. There's something that gives us strength when we have an uncluttered... You know, coming to service sometimes... How long does it take to get us started singing sometimes? I've wondered, Lord, we have a bunch of clutter. We're coming to praise the Lord and it takes us two or three, the strong song leaders struggle sometimes to keep everybody going. And then I've wondered if it's not the clutter that happens in our life. Lord, help and give us organizational power, overcoming power. Listen, I know the Lord can help us with habits. When you get talking, what gets real close to us as saints sometimes is our eating habits. It does. And you know one of the hardest things to break? It's not eating that bacon like I love to eat with an egg. Oh, Brother Bell, you can talk about anything, but don't get on the bacon. You're looking at a fellow that loves bacon, but I think you can do an over. I didn't come here to preach about bacon. But I'm just saying habits, whatever your habit. There's all kinds of things. Habits can get the best of us. Long-standing addictions. pornography, drinking, attitudes. A lot of those things can be overcome with the power of God, with the spark of God in our life. With a little bit of encouragement, things can change. And I want to encourage you today, don't overlook the day of small things. Don't overlook how the Lord can do things for you in a setting, in a congregation, in our prayer life. He can change some of our attitudes. He can put us on a new path so quickly if we're willing. Lord, would you help me with this? I'm having a little bit of struggle with my attitude here. I'm having a little bit of struggle with something that's just really, it's so powerful. It's pulling me away. Lord, help me to have overcoming power in my life. Would that be a prayer? Is that something so far out that we would feel ashamed to pray? Lord, help me to have overcoming power. You know, getting along with each other sometimes it's a job. But I believe the Lord can help us to have overcoming power. How about a growing up power? The book of Hebrews, I wrote down here that an overcoming power or a growing up power in the Hebrews, the 5th chapter, he says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, 5 and 12 of Hebrews, I'm sorry, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Be strong in the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us in the 5th chapter, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. He said there's come a time that you should be stepping up. You should be taking responsibilities in your home. You should be doing things. And there should be a time there that you grow. But he said what we've done is we've not been having our senses exercised, and we've not been practicing the presence of God in our life. And we've got stuck in a rut. The Lord wants us to have a little bit of growing up power. I need that, and I believe every one of us could say, Lord, please help me to grow up a little here. I don't want to go through life without grace in all the areas of my hard places. I need the Lord to help me to have grace in the hard places. There's sometimes a grace to just be quiet. Brother Austin said there was some shut up grace that sometimes we need. My boss one time called me to a meeting, and there was all the district managers and all, there was a whole table full of people in there, and he put me at the head. I don't know, I don't like being at the head of tables except at home, maybe. But the Lord spoke to me and said, you be quiet. Don't you say anything, just be quiet. They went around the table, and each one of them told of events that I didn't show up, or wasn't there quick enough, or things that I'd done wrong. And my mind was going, yes, I remember that time. And I told you specifically, all you had to do to get that going, I'm way across another long ways off, just turn a breaker on. You'll get it going. You couldn't even find a breaker, but the Lord said, you be quiet. Don't say nothing. And at the end, I said, I'm sorry for all the trouble I've caused you. I didn't mean to cause you that trouble. The meeting was over. It was almost that fast. My boss threw his pen down. He was so upset. But you know, there's sometimes it's better to just be quiet You don't have to have the last word. You don't have to have that last little part. Lord, help us. Growing up power can give us strength in our life, maybe that we've needed and we hadn't been able to perform the duties that the Lord wants us to. It's another step up. Let's not get tired of stepping up. If we do, we'll become stale. If we do, we'll become quiet. If we do, we'll just become, and many times just go in circles. We'll go in circles. We never will have that overcoming, growing up power. And another thing, enduring power. In Matthew 10 and 22, he said, you have to endure to the end. It's not just for a little, this race is not just a little tiny a sprint, it's a marathon, and it's something we have to pace ourselves. It's something we need the Lord's help day by day. It's a long thing. We've got to keep going on. We've got to keep following the Lord. Keep holding on to Jesus. Don't give up here at the 11th hour and throw in the towel. No, what we need is some power to endure to the end. Lord, refresh my power today. Give me something, Lord, that would help me to face tomorrow's challenges. I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I really don't. I don't think any of us do. But we need an enduring power. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. If you just start off and you take off and say, well, the Lord's forgive me and everything is fine and I'm doing well, but I haven't taken care of some things that I need to take care of. And you'll find yourself recycling over and over and over again. Enduring power is something that is the seasoning. It's what we need in our life as the saints of God to make a success of this Christian journey. Enduring power. It's something that is a combination of mistakes, and there's trial and error, and there's things that happen, but there's still that determination, Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way to the end. I believe the Lord wants to give us that today. Be able to endure to the end. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, there's another power that I find that I need in my life, and I think all of us could probably use some of this. 13 and 5, he said, here to examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The power to examine ourselves. That's one hard thing to do. Because we can always say, Lord, you know your little servant. You know your little servant. And how I've been mistreated. All the things that's happened. Pretty soon we can just kind of get the feeling like, well, I'm almost beyond faults. I can get some of my relatives stirred up sometimes. I remember my father-in-law, we was traveling one time and was coming home, was on a trip from California to Oklahoma, and it was a long trip. It was hot, very, very hot. And we wasn't saying much to each other. And I had preached that morning in the service and was going along, and Dad wasn't saying much. And I said, that sure was a good message this morning. My father-in-law, he has a message or had a message on pride, and he woke up and began to tell me how that you don't need to be lifted up in pride and everything. And, you know, I look back today and say, Dad was right. There's sometimes this examining thing, we can just get to thinking, oh, I'm just a little, I'll tell you what, just them wings are getting them away. I haven't thought that in a while, but some of you might have that thing, you know, but the power to examine ourselves. He said, you examine yourselves. If you'll examine, you know, sometimes we can even be harder on ourselves than the Lord is hard on us. What about David? The prophet came to him, Nathan. He said, say, there was a man that had a little lamb, and this rich man had a whole bunch of them. And that rich man went over there in that poor man's fold and he got that little lamb and killed it and they all ate it. Oh, David's anger, he was stirred up, wasn't he? You know why? Because David had a load on him. David had a load of guilt because of what he had done previous to that time. David had a load of guilt and he said, the man that done that will surely die. Well, when we have things on our mind, we have a load on us. Do you know it's so easy? It is so easy for us to be carrying such a load that we're not even rational. The law didn't even require death for stealing someone's lamb. But David was carrying within him some heavy material. And I want to tell you, sometimes if you're carrying around some heavy loads of stuff, in your examination, you may even be off balance because of what you're carrying. The Lord wants to help us here, examining. He said, you examine yourself. Power to examine. How are we going to do that? We're going to have to first ask the Lord to lighten our candle and help us each one to have a little bit of light inside our soul. Really, before we can judge something, we're going to have to look in our own self and be able to know everything is clear there. I can really give an accurate examination if my life is clear. I can help others if my life is clear. That's why it's so important, because there's somebody right close by you, near you, that needs to know which way to go. And if you're able, by an example, to tell them, I've examined myself one time and I saw something in there that I wasn't even aware of, you're able to help somebody. This power that I'm talking about, it's far greater than just ourselves. It's other people. They're needing us, folks. And it's essential. That's why he said judgment has to begin at the house of God. If we can rightly divide the word of truth in the house of God, I believe we can share that with other people. I believe there can be much good done. But if we don't have the power to examine ourselves and we go blindly on our way, we stumble. We stumble. And we falter. Maybe it's because we've lacked some examining power. He said, here, you examine yourselves and see whether you be in the faith. Know you not your own selves? When I look at the way God chose his army and chooses people to do his bidding, he doesn't just pick loose cannons. He doesn't just pick people who are without restraint and know how to control themselves. There has to be a place in God's army that he has people that know the carefulness of stepping with him. When he puts you in places, I've been in some close places and I thought, Lord, how did I get here? And he points me back. Remember them lessons I've been teaching you? Remember the things I've been working? Remember the examination you've been... And that's why he puts us in closer places. Sometimes the tolerance, as you get older, gets closer. He might wink at things you first start off, but I believe God is wanting to help us. Now, I'm not winking. I'm not... He's saying to us, I want you to walk with me. I want you to be in step with me. And if we have been used to the yoke of the Lord, if we have been used to it, if we've been to a place, as our song we have in our songbook says, with thine eye, O Savior, guide me. If we've been in a close relationship with the Lord, that his eye can guide us. He didn't have to say very much, but his eye We know he wants us. That's what he wants us to do. I'm sorry, folks, but these stories, one time I was called, a friend of mine called me and said, listen, I want you to go work on a refrigerator for this woman that is having some trouble. I had no clue what I was getting into. I went there. I got it fixed. They had a little restaurant in this small town. Then something else was wrong. I fixed that. And the Lord came by, that's not what I sent you here for. And it was like, I was getting scared, because in a moment her husband came in the door and I could tell there was a real problem. He happened to be the mayor of this little town. I can't tell you how the Lord spoke to me. He said, you preach to them. And I said, listen, I want you all to stop fighting with yourself. It was kind of getting pretty bad. I said, I want to give you some money to go to a little retreat, and you all just go talk things out. Oh, he said, we'd kill one another. I'm not doing that. And the little restaurant was closed that day. People started coming in. About the time I was talking to them and getting somebody to break in the door. And I finally said, we're closed today. And that man looked over there to his wife and said, who is he? And she said, I don't know. I don't know who he is. But the Lord sent me there for not just fixing a refrigerator and a little freezer, but he sent me there to talk to them about their souls. Well, I want to tell you this, long story short, there wasn't a big climax. It wasn't something they got on their knees and prayed. In fact, it was just almost the opposite. But I was in jail. I go there every couple times a week. I used to. I can't anymore because of COVID. And who do you think came down the steps to come to my class? It was that man. The mayor of that little town. And what happened shortly after I went there, I won't tell you all that happened, but it was not good. And he got in trouble. And he was sent to prison. When he saw who I was, he just ducked his head and never said anymore. But oh, my heart, I thought, you know, I wouldn't charge you one thing. I would pay you. I was going to pay you to help you work out your problem, and you wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't listen to me. He lost being the mayor of the town. He lost his family. He went to prison and he committed things. It's his whole life changed. His whole life was never the same. How important is it to examine ourselves? Yes. It's very important. Yes. Had he only just thought, you know, maybe the Lord may have sent this stranger by my way to help me. And sure enough, I know the Lord sent me. I later told my friend that sent me there what happened. And he said, yeah, I heard about it. I read it in the paper. He didn't read about me, but he read about what happened to him. But be careful, examining yourselves, examining, it's very important to us. Let us all take that extra little bit of power to re-examine our motives, to re-examine things. You know what we want to hear when we get out of the end of life? The master's approval is the servant's best wages. We want to hear him say, well done. Well done. You've done a good job. There's also Colossians 1:11. I'd like to read this to you. There is also a redoing power. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. There's a power sometimes to go back and redo things. Have you ever about lost hope on people? You ever about given up on relationships? You ever about given up on this thing ever working out? Well, I believe the Lord has some redoing power, and He is able to help us in a not a a self-centered way, not with in our own strength, as we read back there in Zechariah, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I believe the Lord is able to help us to be able to redo some things and put things back together that was broken. I love our little song we have in our songbook. It said, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Knowing how to put a broken cord back together, knowing how to do these things, folks, it's the working of the Spirit of God. It is the power of God. It is something the Lord wants to help me and you to be able to do more of. Lord, help us to have those delicate abilities to put things back together. I don't know how to do it sometimes, but I know the Lord is able to put things back that we sometimes have messed up and other people has messed up. There's a lot of horror stories out there about people that's come to our meeting sometimes and they got discouraged and took off and never came back for a long time. You know, I'm challenged to find those people. I've found a few of them. They've come back around, but oh, I'm telling you, it takes some time to put things back together, to build confidences back up. It takes something. Only a few words to knock things down, but put together, it takes something. Lord, give us more redoing power. In the book of Isaiah, I hope you all don't think I'm just giving you a good whooping this morning. I'm not trying to do that. Isaiah 6 and 8. There's a power here to step up to the plate. Step up to the plate power is what I label it here. 6 and 8 says, also I heard a voice, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. That sounds pretty good to the Lord. When He can find somebody that will view their problems and they're reintroduced to their problems and they say, hey, you know, the last dozen times I worked on that, it didn't do too well. And Lord, I've turned you down just like Jonah did when he ran away from Nineveh. But there's people that He says, I want you to do this for me. And there's that response, here am I, send me. I didn't see any hesitation there, did you? Did you read a hesitation into that? I didn't. And I think, Lord, help me to hear and to respond quickly. Young boys, your mom ever asked you, boys, take out the trash. And it was kind of quiet. Girls, get in there, make up your bedroom, pick up all those dolls and clean up. And there's this little hesitation. One time we gave a sister a ride from, let's just say it was many miles, halfway across the country. And this little boy was so disobedient. She'd say, one. Now I'm going to count to three. One. One and a half. I don't know if it went to one and three quarters. It went. You know what that boy was doing? He was making sure, I guess, his mama could count. But he knew that till it got to three, nothing was going to happen. And I heard that one, one and a half, two and a half. I finally said, Mama, you make a surprise attack. You tell that boy, you do what I tell you and don't count. Do what I tell you and just make him know. It's not in the numbers. Make him know. You know, if we have a little bit of balking, you remember this story in the Bible where the man said, I need you to do this. And one of them piped up and said, I'll go. And the other, and he didn't go. But then said, I'm not going. And he went. A little bit of hesitation can mean, on our part, it can mean disobedience. And Lord wants to get us through that. He wants us to have some step up the plate power. Do you know, if you know the trash needs to be emptied, surprise your mom one of these days and take it out, and she sees you going out with that trash. Well, I didn't tell you to do that. I know, Mama, but I knew it was full and I wasn't going to wait. I was going to save your words. And maybe you just tell me how much you love me. You know, use the word and said, take out the trash, boys. You're the sweetest little boy. Johnny, you're the sweetest little thing. And just change things just a little bit. Stepping up to the plate power requires courage on our part sometimes. Who will go for me? And he said, well, here I am. In today's world, it's not, we want to know how much it's going to cost us. We want to know what you're going to do. We want to know. They said, I need some volunteers. And he said, here I am, Lord. What do you want me to do? That's the power of the Lord working in our life. 2 Corinthians 12 and 10. Would someone read that for me, please? 2 Corinthians 12 and 10.
Therefore, I pledge an infirmity, reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
All right. I take pleasure in those infirmities because I know in the back of it all, there's going to be something that strengthens me. And when I go through this, like Job said, when I come forth, I'll come forth as gold. There'll be something that the Lord's showing me. I can't see it, Lord. I don't see why you took that away. I don't understand it. But you know what? There's something good that can happen of all of our problems and things that come our way. First Peter 3 and 22, I want to read this scripture to you. It says, who has gone into heaven, speaking of Jesus, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. You all know there was no other greater power in this earth than Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the spotless sacrifice, laying down his life for us. Laying it down. He said, all power is given unto me. Everything. But he said, I lay that power down. I'm laying it down. That was the real power of God. And there's times that we want to take up things in our own hands and we want to work it out and we want to do this and we want to do that. I wonder sometimes if there's not more power in laying that down. Lord, you can pick this up. You can work that out. You can fight my battles here. You can help me. He wants to be with us today. He had authorities and powers subject to him, and yet he was willing to lay it all down just for me and you. At my present time, I could call legions of angels and they'd come to my rescue, but he was willing to lay it all down. He was willing to say, no, Father, your will be done. Thy will be done. In our life, we'll find some real power of God when we do the same thing. And I pray the Lord will help us, that our experiences will be greater and richer, and things in our life will begin to take meaning. We'll be able to understand a little better how this power works. It'll do something for us. It'll help us to overcome some habits that we've had. It'll help us to overcome some internal hurts and conflicts that we've had. We've never got over. Brother Austin was talking to an individual, and you all remember probably the story. That person was upset at this one here, and he said, well, all right, I'm going to start with you first. How long has this been going on? And they said, way up in many years. He said, all right, let's start with you first. No, but I want you, they're the ones that call. He said, no, we're starting with you first. If you've carried that long and you've not been able to avail yourself of the power of God and to get over that, we're going to start with you first. And you know, when we do that and we begin to examine ourselves and we begin to see where some of this lies, it's right here. It's right here at home. God help us today and be with us. 1 Corinthians 9, I'm almost through here. 1 Corinthians 9. I love you all this morning. I want us all to go to heaven. I want more of the power of God in my life, and I really believe that you do too. If we're hung up on some issues in our work, if there's some hard to get along people, do you know, I believe God can give us grace to overcome. I believe we're struggling with some things in our life. We've not gotten victory over. There's some hurts that way back from the past. I believe the Lord has got power to get us off high center and get us going. I believe He can do that for us today. He loves us. And I know that He is concerned about our every need. 9 and 27 says this, Paul was speaking, he said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." I believe the Lord can help us with power to get out of the way. There's sometimes we are in the way. Paul said here, I want to be careful with what I've done. I preached to others. Now myself, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to get in the way here. There's things we've got to get out of the way in our life, in our relationships and things. There's times to just leave it with the Lord. There's a power in life to get along with each other. There's power to get up and go. There's been something that I've watched and I've been amazed at the power to get up and go. I know a brother one time, it was his first plane ride. The first time he got on an airplane, as that plane made its turn to get lined up with that runway and take off, it started moving and he held on the sides of that bench. And he told that brother that's with him, he said, "This thing's got to slow down. It's going to have to slow down." Well, you're going for a plane ride. It's not a taxi. This thing's got to get up to speed. And the power to get up off the ground. I love that song we sing, "Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. My soul has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground." That's the place we got to go. This world here, We've got to find a way to overcome, and it's through the power of Christ working in our lives. If we've been introduced to our problems again this morning and we see ourselves, you know what we need to do is just go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I want you to take me in. I want you to help me to overcome. I've had trouble forgiving. Lord, help me to be an overcomer. Only cowards yield when the foe they meet on the battlefield. We're blood-bought princes of the royal host and must falter not nor desert our post." Overcome. Overcome. What's the word in Spanish? It's so forceful.
Triunfarás. Means
triumph. Triunfarás. Overcome. Overcome. There's power in the blood of Jesus today. Let us rely heavily on that to help us in all of our problems. And I believe He's going to bring us up to higher ground. Thank you for your time this morning. Please pray for me.